sound familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
While oversupply might seem like a dream for many mothers, it truly comes with its own set of challenges, ranging from fussy, gassy babies, green poops, and lots of spitting up. How can a mother tame her oversupply beast? And what does this have to do with an overactive letdown? Today, I'm thrilled to introduce our expert, Christina Chamberlain, a certified nurse midwife, an international board certified lactation consultant in the state of Washington, and owner of Eastside Women's Health and Lactation. Today, we are talking about oversupply and overactive letdown. This is The Boob Group, episode 70.
Breast milk, it does a baby good.
Silly daddy, boobs are for babies.
I make milk. What's your superpower?
If my breastfeeding offends you, put a blanket over your head.
Dairy diva.
Don't be lactose intolerant.
Nursing nature's own breast enhancement.
Meals on heels.
Whoever said there's no use crying over spilled milk never had to pump.
Breast milk. All udders are inferior.
Whatever your point of view, we're here to support your breastfeeding goals. We're the Boob Group, because mothers know breast. Welcome to The Boob Group, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. The Boob Group is your weekly online on-the-go support group for all things related to breastfeeding. I'm your host, Robin Kaplan. I'm also an international board certified lactation consultant and owner of the San Diego Breastfeeding Center. So today we have a new program that we're actually launching, and it's called our virtual panelists. So throughout the month, we'll be posting on Facebook and Twitter information about upcoming episode topics and our featured experts for these episodes. So this is a great way for you to post your questions you would like us to ask our experts, and we will do everything we can to incorporate them into the show. And on our recording days, our producer, MJ Fisher, will be tweeting and Facebooking about the episode as we are actually recording. So this will allow you to engage in conversation, learn about awesome tidbits about our topic, which even before the episode's been released, you can post questions for our expert and share your experience with our audience. All you have to do is follow our Facebook page, which is The Boob Group, or you can follow our hashtag on Twitter, The Boob Group VP, that's for virtual panelists, and join in the conversation. So, MJ, how's it going so far? We have a lot of conversation going on.
We do. We have a lot of mamas who are interested in all of our topics today. It's really nice to be able to incorporate you guys that can't be in the studio into our show and, cover questions that maybe we don't have that we're already covering, or questions that, you know, just in general, everyone will want to ask. So it's nice. We have a lot of posts going on Facebook and then through Twitter, and everybody's joining in. So it's great.
Wonderful. Well, thanks, MJ.
Yes, thank you.
And in our studio, we have three lovely panelists. And so, ladies, do you mind introducing yourselves?
Hello, I'm Rosie Rodriguez. I'm 30 years old. I'm an executive assistant, and I have two girls. They are 3 years old and 10 months.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Marie Bishop. I am 30 years old, and I work as a sales coordinator for an insurance company. I have two kids. I have a 4-year-old little boy, William, and I have a 4-month-old little girl, Lydia.
And Lydia is in the studio with us today, so if you hear a little cooing around, it could be her or one of Stacy's little boys. So Stacy, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Stacy Spensley. I am also 30 years old. I'm a certified holistic health coach, and I have just my one little boy here, Ivor, who will be 6 months on Thursday.
And he's trying to eat the microphone. Well, welcome, ladies. Thanks for coming to the show today.
Sound familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
Hi, Boob Group. My name is Autumn, co-owner and founder of Tailored Fitness. I started Tailored Fitness because I am passionate about helping women learn to live healthy lives so that they can be role models for their families. I was fortunate enough to grow up in a family where I was taught the value of exercise, and now that I'm a mom, I want to set the same good example for my daughter. There's no better time to start taking care of yourself than when you're pregnant. Here's a tip on exercising when you're expecting. Although it may not seem like it, your abs are still there when you're pregnant. And it's important to keep working on strengthening your core so you can avoid lower back pain, which affects 80 to 90% of pregnant women. After the fourth month, you should not do ab exercises on your back like a crunch, but you can still work your core in other ways. Try doing a plank on your knees and elbows, creating a straight line between your head and your knees. Hold for 45 to 60 seconds, breathing steadily throughout the exercise. This is also a great exercise after your baby is born to work on regaining core strength. The Tailored Fitness Exercise Program has workout videos for pregnancy and to help you lose the baby weight after your baby is born. Visit mytailoredfitness.com and sign up for a free 30-day trial to try creating your own custom workout video. And don't miss any of the awesome tips from the Boob Group that will help you prepare for motherhood.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
So today on the Boob Group, we're discussing oversupply and overactive letdown. Our expert, Christina Chamberlain, is a certified nurse midwife, an international board certified lactation consultant in the state of Washington, and owner of Eastside Women's Health and Lactation. Thanks so much for joining us, Christina, and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, Christina, how would a mom know that she has an oversupply? Are there symptoms for both mom and baby in this?
There are. Most women probably can attest to feeling really engorged or feeling like they have oversupply in the beginning when their babies are first born. And that's pretty typical to have that kind of engorgement in the beginning just because your body and your baby are still trying to figure out what exactly your baby needs. But if a mom feels engorged most of the time after the baby is a couple of months old rather than just feeling engorged when her baby hasn't nursed for a while, such as when babies start to sleep longer at night. But if she's feeling like she's always full and uncomfortable, it's probably more due to oversupply rather than just kind of the normal engorgement that happens in the beginning. So true oversupply is when a mom's body is just producing more than what her baby needs. I'll just start off by saying that sometimes it can be an issue not so much with mom supply, but that baby's not able to empty the breast very well. So it's really important for, if mom is having this issue, to see a lactation consultant who can evaluate if it's a baby issue or if it truly is a mom's oversupply issue. So I just want to put that out there at the beginning that's important for you to have that evaluated by a lactation consultant. But as you asked, some of the symptoms for mom, besides feeling engorged all the time, because her milk is not being, her breasts aren't being emptied, her milk is kind of just sitting there, she might have recurrent plugged ducts, which can lead to mastitis. So this mom might unfortunately have recurrent breast infections. She'll probably have excessive leaking, which we all leak, and that's pretty normal for most of us. But if this is excessive leaking, it can interfere with daily activities and just kind of make leaving the house uncomfortable. And then for a baby, some of the things that you had mentioned earlier are true for babies who are kind of battling over supply issue too, where those babies tend to be very gassy. Sometimes they're called colicky. They spit up a lot. They just seem really fussy at the breast. If it's really difficult for them to nurse well, some of those babies might even have a nursing strike for a period of time where they just don't want to breastfeed because it's not a pleasant experience for them. Sometimes those babies, like you mentioned, could have the green poops just because they're getting so much milk. The higher lactose milk is, and it's not digested as easily as the fattier milk. And that can be a result, the green poops can be a result of that. So that's why I say, these babies too, they just have trouble negotiating that amount of flow of the milk. And you want to make sure that it's not a baby issue, that they're not able to coordinate their suck, swallow, and breathing because of some other underlying problem, that it truly is just because there's just so much milk, they're literally kind of being choked at the breast.
And what are some causes for oversupply?
Well, it's kind of believed that there's just, some people are just really sensitive to it. It's a feedback mechanism. That's how just milk supply in general, your body gets the message from baby to make milk. And so it's believed that this thing called the feedback inhibitor of lactation, which controls milk supply, has some kind of relationship tied into emptying and filling a breast. So if you don't completely empty your breast, then you affect this feedback mechanism. So it's just, there's a glitch in that. But other than that, we're not 100% sure. Sometimes it could be a thyroid issue. Sometimes it could be just in the beginning, if people are told to pump a lot for whatever reason, whether it's because they're concerned about their milk not coming in or because there's a need to get more milk for a baby who's unable to breastfeed, if they're pumping too much and they're overstimulating their breasts in the beginning, they'll tend to have that problem. Sometimes women are told to pump before their baby breastfeeds to stimulate the letdown, and that just ends up causing more milk, or they're so engorged and uncomfortable, they pump to relieve their breasts, but they're actually giving their body a bigger message saying, more milk, I need more milk. So, it's just constantly, it's a vicious cycle at that point.
Definitely. So I'd love to open this up to our panelists now. So ladies, how did you know that you had an oversupply? Stacey, we'll start with you.
Actually, Robin told me. So we ended up going in to see Robin after a week after Ivor was born because he was biting me, which was super awesome. And it turned out that everything I was reading, I thought he was sleepy, and he was actually just done because he was actually getting plenty of milk because I had so much of it, he could eat really quickly. And so we ended up adjusting some things and are doing much better. And so not having him bite me was my motivation to discover
what was going on.
Yes. So thank you, Robin.
Yeah, my pleasure. How about you, Rosie?
I learned that I had oversupply because I was always leaking. And with my preschooler, she would just I would hear her gulp and gulp and gulp. And also it seemed like the milk was going through her so fast. And just because, I was squirting all over the place and squirting on her face. And I always needed to have a towel with me because of the forceful letdown as well.
And when she'd pull off, it would just cover you everywhere.
Yes.
How about you, Marie?
Well, with my 4-year-old, he was actually in the NICU. He was a preemie. So I had to pump for him for the first month. And I kind of figured it out when the nurses were a little shocked by me bringing in 12 ounces at a time for each pumping.
Wow.
Yeah. And I just ended up encouraging my oversupply so I could donate. And then this time I ended up having it I just started pumping as soon as my milk came in, and it squirts everywhere, and it's just a ton.
Just a ton as well.
Yeah.
And this kind of leads into this question, Christina. Are there ways that moms can help their babies deal with an oversupply?
Sure. Definitely nursing positions can help. If you're nursing your baby in a position that allows the baby to have better control of that milk flow, that baby is going to probably be more comfortable. So that would be nursing a baby while she's more vertical. So she's kind of working against the flow of gravity as the milk is coming out. So I've had some moms who are really successful with having their baby kind of straddle their legs and sit more upright, kind of like what you kind of think of as a toddler nursing would look like. Other moms are more comfortable doing a laid back position where mom is leaning back and then baby is on top of her body, kind of face down into the breast. So both of these are where baby is in more control of that heavy flow, but also the forceful letdown that somebody had mentioned. That helps them just have a little bit more control of it so they can coordinate their suck, swallow, breathe pattern a little bit better too.
Okay. And would there ever be a reason for a mom to temper down her supply a bit?
Well, if I would say yes, if oversupply is making mom and baby miserable, that's a good reason to temper it down. You know, that everybody just kind of has to decide. Like one of your panelists said that she ended up donating milk. So that's great if she is going to continue to work with her oversupply for that kind of a reason. That's wonderful. But if she did want to temper down her supply a bit, one of the ways that she could do it is kind of the idea of block feeding, where you're nursing the baby on the same breast for all nursings within like a 3-hour period. And some people, you know, they still switch breasts side to side. So this would be eliminating that and simply only offering the same breast during that 3-hour period for any suckling that the baby wanted to do at the breast. And then the next 3-hour period, you would switch to the other side. And that's just helping your body get the message. It's less stimulation, so it's going to produce a little bit less milk. That's one thing. If the overactive letdown is also a problem, mom could try massaging her breasts before the baby latches on so that she has, you know, you probably want to have a towel near you, but that way she can have her letdown before baby actually latches on, so baby's not so bombarded by the milk from the letdown. That's already happened, and the baby can hopefully latch on and be a little bit more comfortable with nursing with that flow after the letdown. Definitely burping your baby often, because a lot of these babies, if they are having trouble latching on or they're coming on and off or anything like that, they're just getting more air into their tummies, which can create more burps, more spitting up. So burping often, that helps. And also avoiding pumping unless you really have to. And if you do need to pump, I would say just pump to comfort. Don't pump necessarily to completely empty your breasts. You could try wearing a more tight-fitting bra. Obviously, you don't want it to be so tight that it's going to create plugged ducts or anything like that, but maybe a wireless sports bra that just puts a little bit more pressure on your breasts so that they aren't so stimulated. That can sometimes help for some women. Sage tea. Sage naturally reduces milk supply. So if a mom was to make a nice little pot of sage tea and drink that about once a day, that she might see an effect on her milk supply. I have known women who have tried all of this, and if it didn't work, then they would start taking birth control pills. Obviously, that, in my opinion, would be the last resort, just because, you know, if you don't have to take medication, why would you? The estrogen and the birth control pills is what would decrease your supply. It inhibits prolactin, which is the hormone that makes milk. So that's how that works.
Okay. And this kind of leads into the next question. Jen had posted on our Facebook page, can you ever overcorrect an oversupply and then cause a low supply?
Some women can. That's why I say for medication especially that would be last resort. I mean, the other things you have a little bit more control over with trial and error. You know, you try something, you see how it's working. If it's not doing what you want it to do, you stop, or, you know, and your body doesn't take too much of a ding from it. But if you're doing medications, then it takes longer for you to rebuild it. But most of the time, if you're just doing these things that we're talking about, you probably wouldn't have a drastic plummet of milk supply. You would see a decrease, and you could kind of, in my experience, most women are able to kind of play with what works for them. So they're not necessarily having a low supply and then having to get it back up, but they're more kind of playing with what works for their baby and their body.
Okay. Ladies, how did you deal with your oversupply, and who was more uncomfortable, you or the baby? How about you, Marie?
Mainly with the baby. For her, I keep a burp rag under her chin, and she starts nursing, and as soon as letdown happens, she pulls away, and we just use the rag to let down into the rag. And then for myself, I pump. But again, I also do it to donate. I would say it's more uncomfortable for me because if it's like on a weekend and I don't want to pump, then I'm dealing. I'm super full. I'm in pain. I'm leaking through all my clothes. She really does. I mean, you heard her coughing earlier, and that's from the letdown. But I think I'm more uncomfortable than she is.
Yeah. How about you, Rosie?
For me, what worked with my first was the block feeding. It took a while to get the right combination of how many hours to move between and things like that. And with my second, it's a combination of block feeding, nursing positions, and, now since I still have a lot, I donated as well. And so at the beginning, it was with my first child, it was more uncomfortable for me, just because, I didn't know what I was doing. And the baby seemed like she was fine with it, and she learned how to gulp it all down, and, she liked it. But with this last baby, it was her that was really uncomfortable. So I felt really bad because I thought that I had a colicky baby, and I was kind of confused because, I was breastfeeding, and I said, hey, how can she be colicky if she's a breastfed baby? She was just super gassy and throwing up a lot, and she was just not having a good time. But, with all of that stuff, we were able to get it under control, and now we're good.
Nice. How about you, Stacy?
Early on, I think it was pretty unpleasant for both of us, again with the biting. But he was pretty gassy. He was gulping a lot, stuff like that. But after a couple of months, as we adjusted our position and I was pumping, it got a lot better for both of us. And now I think it's probably worse for me because I have to pump twice a day, and I also donate my milk. Mm-hmm. And I totaled it up, and as of yesterday, I'm at like 10.5 gallons that I've donated. And so it's a lot of time spent pumping for milk that I'm not going to use, but I got a couple plugged ducts, and that was plenty.
Yeah.
I was good after that.
And that actually leads into our next question, Christina. So Laura had posted on our Facebook page, what are the pros and cons of pumping to freeze or to donate versus leaving it just to be to control your oversupply, but possibly suffering engorgement or leaking as a consequence?
Well, that is a fine line, just because, if you need to pump because you're going back to school or work and you're trying to create a stash, then, you're kind of going through this period of time where you are pumping and kind of creating or adding to the problem a little bit. And so I would say just trying to have some comfort measures to do that. But if you do need to pump, you would just pump as though you're breastfeeding for the 10-minute duration, and that's it. If you are able to donate, that's always a great thing. Thank you to you guys who are donating. That's fabulous. So I think that's definitely a personal decision, kind of what can work in your life. But if you're really uncomfortable to the point where it's affecting your breastfeeding relationship with you and your baby, or your baby's having nursing strikes, or you're having recurrent infections, then in my opinion, definitely working towards reducing your supply is the way to go. It's just what works, and I'm a big proponent of what works in your life, and that's going to be different for each person. So
wonderful. Well, when we come back, we will discuss with Christina the symptoms, causes, and ways to handle an overactive letdown. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to the show. We are here with Christina Chamberlain, a certified nurse midwife, an international board certified lactation consultant in the state of Washington, and owner of Eastside Women's Health and Lactation. And we are continuing our conversation about oversupply and overactive letdown. So we just spoke a lot about oversupply. So Christina, can you let us know, what is overactive letdown?
It's from the milk ejection reflex, which is also commonly known as the letdown, happens either very fast or very forcefully. So it's like a gush of milk all at once.
And what are some signs that a mom has an overactive letdown? And can this sometimes be confused, for example, with a baby with a tongue tie?
Sure. Yeah, sometimes they can look very similar as far as baby's behavior goes. But a lot of times mom will feel a really forceful letdown. I mean, we all describe it differently. Some people say it's like a really intense tingling sensation or pressure, like somebody's kind of squeezing their breast, something like that. But at the same time that she's feeling that sensation, she might notice that her baby starts to choke or gag at the breast just because they are having trouble negotiating this amount of milk that's come at them so quickly. These babies can be very gassy. They'll cry a lot at the breast. They'll come on and off, break the seal. So that can make nursing more painful for the mom, for her nipples. There might be clicking noises while the baby is nursing, and that's the baby using his or her tongue to try and protect their airway from this flow of milk. And these are also symptoms that are very similar. You see similar behavior in babies who are tongue-tied. So again, if you feel like nursing is difficult because of this behavior and what you're experiencing in your own body, I would say definitely see a lactation consultant just to look at your baby's tongue, watch how you guys are nursing so she can help you evaluate what the problem is.
Okay. And are there certain causes for overactive letdown?
Well, the cause isn't really known, but it does tend to coincide most of the time with oversupply. So there's probably some kind of connection to that feedback inhibition of the letdown lactation that I was talking about. It might be, too, that some moms just have a real sensitivity to oxytocin, which is the hormone that releases the milk and causes the letdown. So it's not really known. It would be interesting, too, to see, research in that area, especially because we induce a lot of labors with Pitocin, which is a synthetic form of oxytocin, and how that affects it as well.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know about that.
So if there are any researchers out there listening?
So they don't always go together then, would you say? Some moms can have an oversupply but not an overactive letdown and vice versa?
Well, in my experience, I have seen most moms with an oversupply also have an overactive letdown. That, I feel like, happens more often. But I have also worked with a lot of moms who have an overactive letdown but don't necessarily have an oversupply.
Ladies, did you feel like you had an overactive letdown with your oversupply? And do you feel like your baby has more of a challenge in that first kind of letdown phase? Marie, how about you? We saw it firsthand in the studio here.
Yeah, I definitely have a really forceful overactive letdown. Like, when the kid pulls off, I can shoot several feet across the room.
I'm glad I'm not the only one.
It makes my husband scream. It's so funny. With my first, he actually dealt with it really well. And even considering he was a 6-week preemie, I was kind of shocked by that. Whereas my full-term baby, she has a lot of clicking and coughing and every once in a while a little bit of choking. And we mainly deal with it. We do a lot of silane nursing, which is, besides that, I get to lay down. But it is what it is. I feel like I can't really control it. It's when the letdown comes and the other side, I have to push my hand really hard on the other side or I'll end up soaking myself because both sides are really strong.
Okay. How about you, Rosie?
Yes, I did. And I noticed it more with the second baby. With my first, I did. But thinking back, I guess we managed it pretty well, she managed it pretty well and we were fine. But with the second baby, everything Christina was saying about the overactive letdown was happening, the clicking, the fussiness, gassy, coming off the breast, everything happened to us. And with this baby, definitely, it was still challenging because I thought, if I have an oversupply and overactive letdown, I know how to handle it. But it was still challenging because it was different, still different for me. But I immediately started the side lying and all the other nursing positions, which helped out a lot.
And the side lying is great because although they dribble so much out of their mouths, the babies tend to tolerate that position very nicely. They can tolerate the flow a little bit better, I've noticed as well. How about you, Stacey?
I actually don't. So we actually do okay at the beginning. He just has the keg stand to deal with afterwards. So apparently I'm lucky in that regard.
All right. Sounds good. Christina, are there ways to temper down an overactive letdown?
Well, one way just to help the baby negotiate it is to massage the breast to initiate the letdown before baby even latches on. So that way, by the time they do latch on, the letdown has already happened, so they're not going to have that, probably not going to have as much of that choking or gagging behavior. Some women continue to have an overactive letdown throughout, and like your panelist was saying, they just kind of learn to deal with it, their own tricks to deal with it. I see a lot of women who continue to have overactive letdown until baby starts nursing a little bit less, like just with either adding solids or kind of more of the natural weaning process. But until that point, if baby is nursing a lot, I do tend to see a lot of moms continue to have an overactive letdown, and it's not so much that that goes away, it's just that mom and baby are better at handling it, so it's not as big of a problem.
Yeah. Have you ever tried magnesium? I had taken a holistic lactation workshop, and one of the recommendations was magnesium. Because I guess the overactive letdown was this, you know, spasming of the muscles in the nipple, the spasming and contractions and all that kind of stuff, and the magnesium helps to relax that. And so that's something that I often recommend to my moms who have overactive letdown, and I haven't really gotten a complete verdict back, but I've heard that it actually can be really helpful from some of them.
That's interesting. Well, magnesium, you know, is one of the more holistic approaches, magnesium with calcium for Raynaud's syndrome. So, but I haven't heard it for overactive. So, yeah, how much are they? Are they taking the same dose as you would take it for their Raynaud's?
No, it's different. I don't even, even with the Raynaud's, I don't do the magnesium calcium mixed together. I just do straight magnesium.
Right.
So like a Natural Calm brand. Uh-huh. And I just tell them to take the minimum dosage and see how their gut tolerates it, because we know it can also make everything really relaxed and
right.
smooth. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that, you know, their tummies can handle it. But starting at the lowest dosage and then just kind of going up if necessary. But that can sometimes be helpful, too.
Oh, interesting. I'll look into that.
Cool.
Thanks.
Yeah. So does oversupply or overactive letdown tend to resolve on its own? I mean, you mentioned once babies kind of start maybe not nursing as frequently, that can kind of help negotiate that. Do you see anything else that kind of regulates it?
Well, sometimes moms will deal with it more in the first couple of months, just while their bodies and babies are still, you know, figuring out what the supply and demand is. So a lot of times after the babies hit, you know, the 2 or 3 month mark, that starts to get better just because, again, mom and baby's bodies are, you know, dancing together a little bit better. They're getting more into rhythm. So sometimes that just time in and of itself will kind of resolve it as baby gets bigger and kind of figures it out. But if after the 2 month mark it's still an issue and it's making nursing hard for mom or baby, I would say then start doing some of the things that we talked about to be a little bit more assertively treating it.
Okay. And ladies, when did you notice your oversupply or overactive letdown regulate? Or is this something that you're still dealing with? Marie?
Well, with my 4-month-old, I'm still dealing with it. With my 4-year-old, he nursed till 2.5. And I think it was until he was about 15 months or so that we still had a pretty strong overactive letdown and oversupply. But by toddler age, he was gulping anyway because he had things to do. So
wasn't such a big deal anymore at that point.
No.
How about you, Rosie?
I think it regulated about 3-4 months. But at that point, you know, I think I did continue to have the oversupply and the overactive letdown. But as, you know, we were talking about, we learn how to manage. And as, you know, our babies grow, it's kind of better for them that they can take in so much, and you know, 5 minutes and sweet, we're done nursing, that's it, and you got all your nutrients, we're ready to go.
Absolutely. How about you, Stacey?
I would agree. I think, you know, after a couple of months he got he didn't quite have that same sucking need, so it wasn't quite as problematic for him. He wasn't quite as gassy, he didn't burp as much, but you know, I still pump an extra 12 to 15 ounces a day most days. So we'll see. He's 6 months and we're still going strong, so we'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah, I have to mention our moms in San Diego are really, really fortunate that we have these three moms here to help supply them when they need it. So thank you so much for turning your overactive letdown and oversupply into such great, wonderful things for our community. So thank you. Well, ladies, that's it for today. So thank you so much, Christina, and to our panelists for sharing this incredibly valuable information about the symptoms, causes, and treatment for oversupply and overactive letdown. Your information was fantastic, Christina. Thank you so much.
Oh, sure. Thanks for having me. And I'll just say, you know, grass is always greener. I had the opposite problem. I literally had just enough for my babies and could never pump out more, and it was very stressful when I went back to work. And I was so envious of you ladies. So grass is always greener.
Totally. Absolutely. And for our Boob Group Club members, our conversation will continue after the end of the show as Christina will discuss recommendations for treating recurrent plug ducts for moms with an oversupply. So for more information about our Boob Group Club, please visit our website at theboobgroup.com. So here's a question from one of our listeners. This is from Emily Gerard, and she writes, "Dear New Mommy Media, I love your shows. I started with Preggy Pals when I was pregnant with my first in 2008 and 9, and was disappointed after having my baby that I couldn't find a comparable educational podcast for moms. I was thrilled to move with you to Preggy Pals when I was pregnant with my second, and ecstatic to join you on the Boob Group and Parent Savers. Now, can we please, please keep growing? Any plans for a podcast for young preschool and school-aged kids? If you plan to stick to just the first couple years of life, can you recommend any podcasts for kids a little bit older? I love your format and all the great things I learned from your programs. Thanks, Emily."
Hey, Emily, this is Sunny. I'm one of the producers for The Boob Group. Thanks so much for your email. We have been talking about launching some new shows as part of the New Mommy Media brand. As you know, we have The Boob Group, we have Parent Savers, and we have Preggy Pals. We are launching a new show in January, but the focus is on twins and multiples. So while we are expanding, it's not exactly in the area that you were referring to. I'm not sure if we're going to launch a show that's specifically about preschool-age kids. It's certainly possible. It's definitely within our demographic, but we don't have any current plans to do so. So what I would recommend is for you to go to iTunes, to the iTunes store, click on the podcast section at the top, and then you'll see on the right-hand side, there's a section for categories, and you can actually search for podcasts according to categories. If you scroll down, click on Kids and Family, that will bring up whole podcasts that are dedicated to the category of kids and family. Your other option is to use the search bar and just type in preschool podcast and see what pops up. I actually did do that, and there were specific episodes that referred to preschool age topics, so that might interest you as well. I hope that helps. Sorry, I don't have any excellent news for you as far as us releasing a preschool show anytime soon. It's certainly within the realm of possibilities, but for all of our listeners out there, if there are specific shows that you guys are interested in that fall in the category of new and expecting parents, please let us know. We are here to provide content for you, and we certainly want to create, you know, topics that are relevant to you and your lifestyle. So again, Emily, thanks so much for your comment.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to The Boob Group. Don't forget to check out our sister shows, Preggy Pals for expecting parents, and our show Parent Savers for moms and dads with newborns, infants, and toddlers. Thanks for listening to The Boob Group, your judgment-free breastfeeding resource.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.